In the beginning of Parshas Yisro, Yisro observes his son-in-law Moshe sitting in judgment upon the nation, Vayamod ha'am al Moshe min ha'boker ad ha'arav, all day long. Yisro observes that this is not ideal. Lo tov ha'davar asher ato oseh, navol tibol gam ato gam ha'am hazeh asher imach. This is not good for you, it's not good for the nation. Ki chaved imcha ha'davar, it's too much for you. Lo suchal aso levadecha, you can't do this on your own. Yisro then makes his famous suggestion that Moshe should appoint judges beneath him. Va'ata sechizem ikol ha'am, anshe chayil, yirei elokim, anshe emes, sonei vatza. Find people, seek out people who have these important qualities. V'samta alehem, appoint them, sarei alafim, sarei meos, sarei chamishim, v'sarei asaros. Sarim, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. The sense of this pasuk is not very clear. A number of different suggestions are proposed by the commentators. Chazal and Rashi say that Sarei Alafim means Sarim with constituencies of 1,000. Sarei Meos means those who are in charge of 100. Sarei Chamishim means those whose jurisdiction comprises 50. Sarei Asaros is the lowest level, whose jurisdiction only comprises 10 each. Other Mefarshim offer other explanations. Ibn Ezra and others say that Sarei Alafim means whose retinues or staffs are 1,000, their servants, retainers, or thousands either that they already have households or servants numbering in the thousands, or that they would be given this by Klal Yisrael upon their appointment. There's even an idea that Sarei Alafim means those who would be in charge of matters in the thousands of coins, whatever coin they used. The best known pshat, of course, is the first pshat, Rashi's pshat, Chazal's pshat, that Sarei Alafim, Sarei Meos, Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Asaros means different levels of judges. Some had 1,000 people in their jurisdiction, some had only hundreds, some had 50, and some had 10. What is not clear, though, is what was the significance of these different judges? What sorts of cases went to the ones who were Sarei Asaros? What sorts of cases went to the ones who were Sarei Chamishim? What was the interaction? What was the overall sense behind the system? What was the difference in role between the Sarei Alafim on the one extreme and the Sarei Asaros on the other? So the Sfarno has an interesting explanation. He says, "Kishiyudalad madrego zulamalamizu." This was a hierarchy. These four levels, Alafim, Meos, Chamishim, and Asaros, were a hierarchy, one above another. And the procedure was as follows. Hine yishpot hakatan rishona. First, a case would go to the lowest level, the Sarei Asaros. Vatzoek al psak dino, one who felt that the verdict was unfair, yitzek al hagadol imenu. He would escalate. He would appeal to the next level. Umin hasheni al hashlishi, to the third level. Umin hashlishi al harvi. He would appeal. He would continually appeal to the next highest level. Uvechein yiyu ma'at mabayim lefanech ladin. So the cases that would actually reach Moshe would be relatively few. The Sarim who had initial jurisdiction, original jurisdiction, would hear all the cases, and some of them apparently would be escalated to higher levels. This is essentially the modern system of courts of appeal. We have courts of original jurisdiction. Some of the cases are appealed to appellate courts. We have multiple levels of appellate courts. But the Sfarno claims this is actually the system that Yisro was proposing to Moshe Rabbeinu. In this lecture, we will discuss the halachic perspective on appealing the verdict of a beis din. There are really four strata in the halacha of the question of reviewing or appealing a verdict of a beis din. First, we have several Talmudic statements. They're relatively brief and they're not directly on point, but they're all we have. Then there are several important comments of the Rishonim who also don't treat the topic in any systematic way, but they are at least more explicit and more directly discussing the question of reviewing one based in reviewing the verdict of another. Later we have tshuvas mostly of the Achronim who discuss the matter much more directly, much more comprehensively, and at much greater length. The longest tshuva I've seen actually is one of Rav Chaim Falaji and the Smicha L'Chaim, literally dozens of pages long. But they mostly are discussing ad hoc, one based in or one rav, simply reviewing on a case-by-case basis the verdict of a lower based in. Finally, in the 19th and 20th centuries, we have Poskim discussing the modern idea of a system of courts of appeal, where there is a regular and systematic arrangement where certain courts are designated as appellate courts, as higher courts, where they review the verdicts of lower courts, and the Poskim discuss the halachic perspective on this. So we turn first to the most widely quoted passage on this topic. As we alluded earlier, it is only obliquely related to our topic. It's the significance and the import of the passage is extremely unclear. Nevertheless, it's one of the only Talmudic sources that is in any way relevant to our discussion. The Gemara expresses the famous principle of Beidina Basar Beidina Lo Daiki. The Gemara in Yesh Nochlin, also in Yevamos. The Gemara is discussing whether a Beis Din that issues a ruling, let's say the Beis Din says that someone had chalitza. Does the Beis Din have to verify that the chalitza is kosher, that the protagonists, the participants are who they're supposed to be, or not? Can they just assume that the later Beis Din who has to marry off the woman, will do their own investigations? The Gemara goes back and forth on this point. The maskana of the Gemara is, Beis Din Basar Beis Din Lo Daiki, Beis Din Basar Edim Daiki. Edim do not have to be so particular about what they write, because they know that whatever they write will be reviewed carefully by Beis Din. So the Beis Din won't just rubber stamp what they did, so they can just say, we saw a chalitza, we're not sure who the participants are, and Beis Din later will say, oh, if they don't say explicitly they know who the participants are, we have to verify that. But Beis Din Basar Beis Din Lo Daiki. Whenever Beis Din issues a ruling, a subsequent Beis Din will not review what they have done. Therefore, the first Beis Din must take pains to get it right. They must not issue any ruling, any statement, unless they're sure it's correct, because they have to assume that the second Beis Din will rely on them, will not review, will not take apart what they have done to make sure that it is correct. So this principle is elevated by many poskim into a rule that the Beis Din cannot, should not, does not, must not review what an earlier Beis Din has done. Now, there are some who have argued that this is not actually a normative statement, but merely a descriptive one. A Beis Din typically does not do so. Chaim Avadia discusses this in a tshuva. Rabbi Tzion Meir Chai Uziel, Mishpatei Uziel also discusses, downplays the normative significance of this. But nevertheless, neither of them really quotes a lot of the earlier literature on this. Very surprising for Chaim Avadia, certainly. As we will see, there are many, many poskim who do seem to have understood that this was a straightforward rule, a rule of procedure that Beis Din should not, may not review what an earlier Beis Din has done. Now, there are several major tshuvas in the Rishonim. They're actually fairly small tshuvas, and some of them are incidental, but they're widely quoted by the Achronim, that seem to indicate also that a Beis Din should not review, should not critically consider what an earlier Beis Din has done. We have actually three tshuvas in the Rush. One of them, the Rush expresses surprise, dismay, at his correspondent who had posed some question to him. He says, Lo yadati lama shaltuni al zeh. I don't know why you're asking me this, he says. Halarani b'chsav. I've seen in the papers you've sent me, chsav hadayanin, that they already ruled. Pasku hadayanim. Imkein adin shenif sakayim. Lama shaltum usar pa macheres. Why are you asking me for a second ruling? Din shenif sakvar. Bedina basa bedina lo daiki. He quotes the phrase of the Gemara in Bava Basra, a Beis Din does not review, does not second guess the holding of an earlier Beis Din. So what do you want from me, he says? Why are you asking me this? Lo yitachin li lifsuk psak acher al din shepasku kvar anashim yidolam v'nechbadim. It's not possible for me, he says, to issue another psak on a matter that was already ruled upon by anashim yidolam v'nechbadim. The Rush does note that the earlier Beis Din had consisted of anashim yidolam v'nechbadim, great and honorable men. As we will see later, though, the consensus of the Achronim is that that is lav dafka, that what the Rush really means to say, what the Poskim really assume is that a Beis Din should never second guess what an earlier Beis Din did, regardless of whether they consisted of particularly noteworthy people. As long as we know or assume that they were basic, competent Dayanim, even if we don't know that they were Gedolei Hadar or specifically Anashim Gedolim V'Nechbadim, the point of the Rush is Beidina Basar Beidina Lo Daiki, a Beis Din does not review or second guess what an earlier Beis Din has done. Another tshuva in the Chazei HaTnufa, also attributed to the Rush. Reuven v'Shimon Shabo L'din Zem Zeb V'Pnei Beis Din, V'Yotza Echad Zakai. So one of them won. B'shuv chazer baldino v'tavluf nevesin acher. The loser wasn't going to take his loss lying down. He tried to haul him in front of another beistin. So the Chazei HaTnufa rules, eino zakuk le'eridi maladin. The party who won the first time does not have to participate in this relitigation. V'lo l'hashuv al tanos, if he doesn't have to respond to him at all. V'gam, the Chazei HaTnufa adds, also, ein beistin hasheni rashoi l'shma advar of klal. The second beistin may not listen to the case at all. Achra shiatz hazak, ein beistin ha'echad. Once the first basin already issued a ruling, the second, the litigant does not have to participate in any further proceedings, and the basin is not permitted more than just, as we said before, not the derech of the basin to do it. The basin is not permitted, he says explicitly, not permitted to rehear the case. Similar to the previous tshuva of the Rush. A third tshuva of the Rush, this one is very problematic. The wording in this Rush is very hard to understand. The Achronim have offered numerous different explanations of this Rush. Misha kibel alav dayan echad, someone who has accepted a single dayan, as opposed to the normal panel of three, v'nigmar adin, ein yicholin lachzer behem, they may not now retreat, withdraw their consent and authorization for this psak. Even if they both agree to withdraw. Obviously, this rush is baffling. If they both agree, who's stopping them? If both litigants agree, Shneihem Misratim, to go somewhere else, who's naysaying them? Beis Yosef already raises this question. Dover Temahu Miyakiv al Yadam. So Beis Yosef brings two pshatim. We are interested here primarily in the second pshat, which Beis Yosef says is Zen Nira Yoser, the pshat he prefers. Even if both litigants want to have the case reheard somewhere else, they still can't do that, because that is disrespectful to the honor of the first dayan. The Darkei Moshe doesn't really accept this. The Darkei Moshe says, Manavshach, once the first basin has already ruled, it's binding. No matter what they do, even if they both agree to set it aside, it's still a binding psak. If they're actually mochel each other and decide to waive their claims, then there is no issue of covered hadayin. If they simply agree to make kinyanim or to be mochel or to give up what they have, then that's like a new deal they're making. There's no lack of respect for the dayin. So he says respect for the dayin is not an issue. Manav shach. If they're not mochel, then whatever they do makes no difference. And if they are mochel, then there's no disrespect. So he doesn't like the pshat of Beis Yosef, he has his own pshat. The Achronim provide several other pshatim. But the Bach and several other Achronim agree with the Beis Yosef. The Bach says that even if the litigants both agree to go somewhere else, Ein Rasha and Lasas Kain, they may not do that. The Choshin Lekovod Hadayin Harishon, B'chein Pirish Beis Yosef. And he explains that the Rosh means, Afilu Avdu HaBalaydin V'Hochul Beis Nacher, even if the Balaydin disregard this prohibition and go somewhere else, the basin itself is not allowed to. That's what the Rush said in the first tshuva we read, that he doesn't understand what his correspondents want from him. He says, I'm not allowed to paskin. And also in the Chazei HaTnufa he says the same thing, that the basin is not rashoi to listen to a case that was already heard by the first dayan. And the Bach understands all these tshuvas, the Rush, the Chazei HaTnufa, the second tshuva, the Rush, are all making the same point, that because of covered for the basin, the second basin should not rehear the case. And that's how the Bach understands. So this, Beis Yosef and Bach, introduces a whole new dimension to our discussion. When we think of the question of whether a person can appeal the case, whether the other litigant has to cooperate, we think normally of the rights of the litigant. The litigant who won can say, it's not fair. I don't have to have my case heard 20 times until I finally lose. I won, and that's it. So we would understand that's a procedural right of the litigant. Beis Yosef and the Bach are introducing a whole new dimension. Independent of the rights and the privileges of the litigants themselves, there's a new concern. The honor due to the first basin. Even if the litigants do not care about their rights, they still have no right to go to another basin. The other basin still should not hear the case, because that would be disrespectful to the first basin. This position is also adopted by the Choshen HaEfod, an important tshuva dealing with an appellate system in his day. But he also discusses the earlier sources, and he says that's what the Chazei HaTnufa meant. He meant to make two distinct points, he says. Ein baldin zok lerid imo. first of all, the litigant has the right not to have to re-argue his case. V'gam, even if they want to, he says, v'holchul based on acher, ain't a based on Rashi Lashma Dvar HaKlal, v'atam nir HaPashut, he says, because of cover of the first basin. And he says that's what the Chazet Tufa means. Both points are true. First, it's a right of the litigant that he does not have to re-argue his case. Second, it is a question of honor and respect due to the first basin that what they have decided should not be second-guessed by another basin. He brings a number of the achronim, and he says that the consensus is that there might be other dinim involved in the rush also, but this din of covered basin, he says, is something which is accepted by the poskim. He does bring one tshuva in the tshuvas Eidus B'Yaakov, who he says, mitoch tvarav mavuar delochai yishmael zilusud debeistin klal. The Eidus B'Yaakov, he understands, is not concerned about zilusud debeistin. But he says, the halacha is not like that, he says. And even though, he says, normally one could say kimli in chashan mishpat, the nitfa, the defendant, can always plead kimli like a minority opinion. So here also he says, the nitfa will say, how can you stop me? I'm going to plead yeshli rav gadol v'nara. Eidus B'Yaakov, I'm going to go like him. Hu ezri, hu magini, I could say kimli. Even though you have kashas on him, if he would be here, he would answer the kashas. So he makes a couple of very interesting arguments. The choshen ha'efod, he says no. He says, even if in theory, he says, the litigant could plead kimli, but it's not going to get him too far, he says, because what does he want to do? He wants to appeal and have some other basin review the first basin's decision. No other basin will be willing to take the case, because every other basin knows that they owe respect to the first basin. And most poskim say, except for the Eidus B'Yaakov, most poskim say they shouldn't take the case. So even though the litigant might have the right to say kimli, as far as any other basin is concerned, they're not going to take the case because they know that most poskim say that it would be disrespectful to the first basin. So he'll be stuck. He will not find any other basin willing to take his case. So necessarily he'll be forced to accept the ruling of the first basin simply because he will not find any other basin willing to take his case. Furthermore, he says, even he himself cannot really say kimli because since it's a question of Isser, not just Choshen Mishpat, of his civil rights, his rights as a matter of civil proceeding to sue, it's also a question of Isser V'Heter, which is a question of Nisan D'Oraisa, he says, for any Talmud Chacham, certainly for a Dayan, certainly a question of Zilzal in the covered of a Dayan, he says, that's a well-established rule that you can't say kimli when there's an Isser involved. Kimli is a rule reserved for questions of Dine Mamanus, but when there's Yisurim involved, there's no option of kimli. Therefore, he says, even though the Eidus B'Yaakov is not worried, but it's lucid debased, and since most poskim, as he understands them, are, the litigant will be stuck, no other basin will take his case, and he himself cannot even say kimli that he's not concerned about the lucid debased. Another tshuva brought by the Choshen for himself, as well as several other achronim, also indicates that a basin cannot, should not review, second guess the verdict of an earlier basin. Is a tshuva in the Ran. The Ran actually was apologizing to other Dayanim. The Ran had apparently issued a ruling not having realized that the matter had previously been brought to other Dayanim. And the Ran writes, Rishonani misnatil of nekvodchem, I apologize to your honor. Keshereshavti al mashinashalti, I apologize for mixing in and writing a tshuva on this or answering this question, he says. I was asked by Maestri Moshe Meir. Lo yadati shanta pasachtim adin kasher datuni ata. Now you're telling me you passed. I had no idea. I didn't know you were ruled. Shilu yadati hayisimeshiv alav shikvaharu zekein amumchem uvhakim. Had I known that you had already ruled, I would have told him to get lost. I would have told him that I can't passkin for you because senior veteran dayanim have already ruled. Vatoy nachar maestri based in shalhem lo amar v'lo klum. I have no right. I have no authority to issue such a ruling. But he told me that he misled me. He told me that you were soliciting my opinion. You wanted a consultation, so I offered my opinion. That's why I answered what I answered. But otherwise, I never would have answered. I have no right, he says. I have no right to issue a ruling on a case that had already been dealt with. The Ran also would seem to indicate that he's concerned about the honor of the dayanim rather than the right to the first litigant, because he was apologizing to the first basin. He wasn't apologizing to the litigant. He was apologizing to having disrespected the first basin. So it sounds, too, that he was concerned also with the zilzul of the first basin, which is why he apologized to them for overstepping his bounds and disrespecting their authority. As we mentioned, there are more than one sugya that have at least some glancing impact on our discussion. Aside from the Gemara of Beis and Basar, Beis and Lodaika, a second Gemara is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the end of Zeborer. The Gemara says, Shnayim shenasachnu b'din, two litigants are in a dispute. So first, if they disagree about the venue, Echad amar nidan kan, Echad amar neilach l'makom avad, one of them says, let's go to the local Beis, and one of them says, let's go to the makom avad, a more central, higher authority. Kofenos of Adon B'iro. It's a discussion of the sugya there, but this memra says that they have to take the case locally. If the local basin cannot answer something, they can send out in writing a query to somewhere else. Vim Amar Kisfut Nuli Mezatam Dantuni, if a litigant, presumably the losing litigant, requests of the basin, write down for me Mezatam Dantuni, this is a legitimate request, and the Beis Din must write down for him the basis for their ruling. Now, there is a machlokas rishonim, whether this applies. The context of the Gemara was a case where they didn't agree on where to go, and one litigant had to be forced to go locally. Some poskim argue that this din of kisvulim ezetam dantuni is only in such a case, only where the litigant did not wish to appear before the local Beis Din but was forced to do so. Other poskim say there's no such distinction, that regardless of whether he was forced or not, either way he has the right subsequently to request me'ezatam dantuni. Beis Yosef brings Rabbeinu Yerucham, beinim danu b'kfiya, bein lo danu, either way, mikol kam kosim v'nosim, they have an obligation to write me'ezatam dantuni. But the Darkei Moshe brings several Rishonim, Mordechai, Muki Yosef, Mashmaos of the Torah, says, is that only if they were danai d'kfiya. And Mechaber doesn't get into this question, but the Rama brings the Yesh Amrim, Dafkim Danu Asai Dekfiya, Blav Hachi Ein Kosh Minosim Lo V'chein Eker. The Rama Paskin is like the Rishonim he brings in the Darkei Moshe, that this din is only if the litigant was forced to appear against his will. Now, what is the distinction? Why is he only entitled to ask Mezatam Dantuni if he was here against his will? So this Mas says, the Achash Shekibla Samu Dayanim Stam Lav Kol Kminayo Lachsan Ripiskan. Once he accepted their authority, he can't retract now. So this Mas already hints to us that the reason for writing Mezatam Dantuni is because he's not willing to accept their verdict. And this point is actually really explicit in the Muki Yosef already. Muki Yosef says, what does it mean, Mezatam Dantuni? What is he asking for? What exactly does he want? So Muki Yosef says, Lav lememra shdichtvu lahem hatayim v'harayah shechayvos b'shvilan. It doesn't mean that they have to issue a ruling the way courts do today, the way the Bati Din in Eretz Yisrael do, or the Rabbanut does today, that they issue a reasoned, detailed ruling. Whatever the merits of that may be, that's not what the Gemara means. The only thing they have to do is Sholchin Stam, they have to issue an explanation, Ploni Ta'an Kain, a transcript or a summary of the transcript of what the claims put forth by the litigants were. When we talked to Ram, Nirulonu Shadin and Ploni, basically just the claims of the litigants and the verdict. Based in Shemamakam Avad, Heim Yadu Me'ezatam. So Muki Yosef obviously understands that the reason for writing this thing is so they can take it to another Beis Din, and they'll know what the reason was. The Sma and the Gon expound on this a little bit. The Sma says, why write the reasons? Kol Beis Din Yafik is a Shomer HaTainas, Yodin Lifsuk, Alayin D'Torah Achas L'Kulanu. We all have the same Torah, so as long as they see what the claims were, they can judge for themselves whether the verdict is correct or not. The Gon also says, Shabbeis and Shasham, Yedum, Me'atzimatam, they'll figure out the reason on their own. So obviously, implicit in all this is that the reason for writing Ezatam Dantuni is not simply for his edification. There's another din in the sugya, for example, that if the person is choshed the dayan, v'yisim nikiyim, the dayan has an obligation to explain himself to justify what he's done in certain circumstances. So that's just for the litigant's own satisfaction, presumably. But here, the Rishat, the Muki Yosef, and the Achronim all seem to understand that the point of writing Ezatam Dantuni is so we can take it to another Beis Din and have it reconsidered. That's why you don't need the reasons, because they'll figure out the reasons on their own. All they need, the second Beis Din, all it needs is, they, is the claims, the transcript. So obviously there seems to be something going on here about actually a second baseman actually reviewing and second guessing the sack of the first baseman in direct contradiction to everything we've seen until now. Now, as we've pointed out, the Ramah, based on earlier poskim, does rule that this is only if the person, the losing litigant, had appeared against his will, and therefore it is possible to argue that the earlier sources were where the litigants appeared willingly, and this din is specifically according to the Ramah and his Rishonim in a case where he appeared unwillingly. It's not such a satisfying answer because we still have to be miyashev these two sugyos according to the Beis Yosef, according to those who hold that this din is true regardless, Rabbeinu Yerucham, regardless of whether it was bekviyah or not bekviyah. Nevertheless, there are some contemporary achronim who suggest that all the discussion of based in bus or based in lodaiki is only in a case where it was not idekviyah, but wherever it was idekviyah, then the rule of based in bus or based in lodaiki does not apply. Then a second based in does have the right to second guess and overrule the finding of the first based in. Now, the Yehuda also takes this din of Ali Dekfia, a litigant to appear unwillingly, very, very seriously. Someone asked him if a dayan tzarech lo'diam ezatam dun, does a dayan have to justify himself? He says, Yafa hara, that the person who asked him was correct, that even if there's no issue of chashad, he says, Alpi kein tzarech al kol parim litim b'ksav atayinus v'apsak. Maybe not the reasons, but at least, again, the transcript and the verdict, he must put in writing, im betchila don bekfiya, as we've seen according to the Ramah. And the Nabi Yehuda adds a very significant extension of this, kol shelo bo shnei abalei dinu lefanav me'atzmam, as long as they did not come willingly, ladun el shesholach le'echon mehem ha'shamash lazmino, he received a summons, even if there wasn't actual kfiya, he wasn't forced, he wasn't threatened, he wasn't hauled in against his will, but the mere act of issuing a summons itself is called, I didn't want to come. I came because I responded to a summons. It wasn't my idea. I wasn't interested. You summoned me. That itself is called Dan Bekfiyah. Not everyone agrees to this, but this is Nabi Yehuda's position. And this is called Dan Bekfiyah. The reason that we saw, anytime he's Dan Bekfiyah, he has to be able to get the transcript and verdict in writing in order that he be able to appeal, black and white, to Beis Din HaGadol. Lishalom lota, ubeprat bederenu shatoz mitzuya. A point we will return to at length soon, that in contemporary times, poskim have typically understood that in their times, the anim were less competent than in earlier times, and certainly today, the Nabi Yehuda says, everything has to be put in writing so that he can have the verdict reviewed by another beis din. Nabi Yehuda ends with remarkably strong language. Hadavar pashut tzarech adayin aharav litin kasev v'chasim. This is pashut. V'lo chashut etzli shum rav. No rav is suspected by me sheyimna milasas kid of not wanting to do this. Kim lo shiadeh be'emesh lo dan b'tzedek. Unless he knows that his ruling is incorrect, o b'zadon o b'shkaga, either deliberately incorrect, he was corrupt, or he made a mistake. V'gas libo u'bosh milahodas alemesh atah. Made a mistake, but now he's too embarrassed, too uncomfortable to admit it. So this is a very barbed comment against any dayan who would refuse to put his verdict in writing. The only possible reason he could think of is because he himself knows that his ruling is incorrect. But Yehuda also, based on this Gemara, this set of poskim, seems to indicate that any time a person was forced to appear, or even not forced, even merely summoned and appeared in response to a summons, that is called danai dekfiya. And whatever verdict is handed down against him, he has the right to appeal to the Beis Din HaGadol. Now, as we mentioned, the Rabbi Yehuda says, "Prat b'derenu shatoz mitzuya." This point was the subject of a major dispute among the Gedolei HaAchronim, the Sfaradim. Beginning with the Dor Dea, the time of the Beis Yosef, the Radvaz, Machlokas between the Radvaz and the Beis Yosef. This rule, going back to the first Gemara, Beis Din Bus or Beis Din Lodayik, a Beis Din does not second guess the holding of an earlier Beis Din. So the Radvaz says, in a tshuva cited in the Afkas Rochel, the Beis Yosef Sefer, Radvaz says, Hani mili bizmanayim. That was true in earlier times. Aval ha'idna, dakina v'dakina. He brings a raya from a tshuva of the Rashba. The tshuva of the Rashba is rather ambiguous. The diukim are highly technical. We're not going to get into the specifics of the language and the issues. But basically, he has a Rashba who says that today the rule of based in Basar, based in Lodag, no longer applies. And that is how the Radvaz rules, that today he says the rule doesn't apply. Other poskim say if it didn't apply in the Rashba's time, it certainly doesn't apply today. As we mentioned earlier, the consensus of the poskim always is that in their times, Dayanim were even less competent than they were at any given point earlier in Jewish history. Beis Yosef himself rejects this. He says the raya from the Rashba is not a raya. That was only in a specific case, which because the case was zar, zayin reish, strange. Shalmeshev explains that means that it was something, a little known halacha, that even in the time of the Gemara says certain sofrim didn't know this halacha. In certain special halachas, we say that today we don't rely on bekiyas. But in general halachas, in general, the rule of based in lodayik still applies b'zman hazeh. Now, as we'll see, the consensus of the poskim is probably on the side of the Beis Yosef, although there are some other authorities, like the Radvaz. The Mabit already, yet another contemporary of the Radvaz and the Beis Yosef, brings from the Sefer Tzror HaKesef, that is a Sefer written by a Talmud of the Rashba. We actually have this today, although we are missing, as far as I can find, the first section, which is where the Mabit's quote is from. But the Mabit quotes the Tzror HaKesef as saying, even in his time, the medieval period, the Dayanim were not Bekiyim, and therefore we can't be so quick to apply the rule of based in Basar, based in Lodayik. And also in the Tshuva and the Maisachia, he says basically the same thing, that it's very rare, especially in smaller cities, he says, it's very rare to find Dayanim who are really experts, he says, and we can't assume that based on our experts, he says, even though the Gemara has a rule that we're not choshish for based in Toim, we don't suspect based in them making an error. But today he says this mata Torah, we have less Torah, filu halomdim labaki bedini. So today we don't apply the rule of based in Basar, based in Lodaika. So these are the three main sources that the later Achronim bring of people poskim who held that today we don't say based in Basar, based in Lodaiki. The Radvaz is the best known one, although the Beis Yosef sharply rejects it. But also, some of the Achronim have added, also the Mabit, citing the Tzror HaKesef and the Maisachia. Many other Achronim, however, have assumed, either have explicitly rejected the Radvaz and sided with the Beis Yosef, or just passing that way without mentioning the whole Machlokas. The Shach, for example, he says, certainly we paskin based in Torah L'Chashinon. Rav Rafael Yitzchak Meo has a couple of tshuvas on our sugya at great length, one of them printed in the Chikrei Lev, one in his own sefer, the Sfas Hayam. He has a bunch of svarim, all with the name Yam in them, Sharasha Hayam, others. Apparently that's his name, Yitzchak Meo. Rafael, I guess, was probably a Shem Choli. But anyway, so he writes that it's true, he says, that there is a tshuva in the Radvaz, but he says, the Beis Yosef was delcha this tshuva, dichui gomer b'shtei yadayim. And he summarizes, kivan d'harash, v'arambam, v'beis Yosef, mishpat tzedek, v'asma, all these poskim, brought the rule of based in Basar, based in Lodaiki, and Lo Chashin, Lo based in Toam, and Lo Chilku Bedaris, Rishon, Bedaris Halalu. They made no distinction for contemporary times. Kavasayon Akhtina, Neged Sfaras Radvaz, Shu Yachid Bedavar Zeh. We paskin like them, we reject the Radvaz, Radvaz is a Das Yachid. And he adds, Milchid Mistavarhu. He says, how else could you learn? Dilo Tema Hachalo Shafkas Chai. You're never going to get anywhere. Anytime a person goes to Basin, he can always just relitigate, he can always just have someone else review it. Nafik Mine Chorva. There'll be a terrible churva coming out of this. Elusive the based in B'chol Yom, the other concerns. It's not respectful to the Batei Din. Chas v'shalom, ain't l'dav herself. So it can't be, he says. We have to accept the consensus view that even today there is finality, that once a based in rules, another based in has no business second-guessing. The Chikrei Lev, responding to him, contemporary responding to him, says, you called the advisor Das Yachid, not a Das Yachid. As we mentioned, he has Mabit, Tzror HaKesef, Maisachia. Chikrelev himself seems to really more or less agree, though, that Ladina, Rabbi Meo, is correct, that the halacha is not like the Radvaz, he just doesn't want to call the Radvaz a Das Yachid. He says there are others, he says it's true, there are certainly many others who are chalik on the Radvaz, but you should know he's not a Das Yachid. Shalomeshev also has a tshuva in which he rules firmly like the Beis Yosef. He says, he brings the Chazei Tnufa, the Rush, the Dark Emotion, the Sma, who bring the Chazei Tnufa and the Rush. And he says it's true that the Radvaz says the Klal no longer applies, he says, but the Beis Yosef rejects this. V'chein Ikr l'fi anis da'ati, he brings a Raya. He says says Ikarka Beis Yosef. The halacha is like the Beis Yosef, that even today the rule of Basin Basar Basin Lodaik still applies. Incidentally, in another tshuva in the Shalom Eishiv, discussing the other sugya, the sugya of Kisful Mezatam Dantuni, he brings another pair of tshuvas in the Afkas Rachel, a few tshuvas earlier, one from the Beis Yosef himself, one from the Mabit, who say that Bizman Azeh, because the Batei Din are not as authoritative, today they do have to write the Tainus and the Psak. So that seems to be the idea of the Radvaz, that today the Batei Din are less reliable, although again, this Sholem Eishiv is not discussing the question of appealing, he's discussing writing Mezat Tam Dantuni, but as we pointed out, that seems to be the same issue as appealing, because why do you write Mezat Tam Dantuni, and why is there a difference earlier about Kviya and today not, because you want to appeal? So this Sholem Eishiv seems to be siding more with the idea that Batei Din are less authoritative, although there has to be some distinction, because here the Beis Yosef himself says that Bizman Hazeh things are worse, while the Beis Yosef, in the context of the Radvaz, rejects the Radvaz. So again, how these two sugyas can be reconciled is not quite clear. There's a tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi too, where he assumes takes for granted that you cannot just appeal a case from one basin to another. He says, "B'inin apsak din sheish lachem an arav shayim mekubalav based on kehilas, a group of kehilas. Now people want to relitigate it." Hadavar Bari says, "Shein chamz hukum klal is dain al apsak din shapasik arav mekubal shalosh kehilas is manahi." He's not discussing his lusli bedina. He seems to be discussing the rights of the winning litigant. He says, "Of course, you don't have to relitigate. You won. Period." Talmud Aruchu. He says he brings the marin yesh nachlin chen kos v'kol aposkim. So he doesn't seem to be concerned about the cover of the basin as much. His issue seems to be that it's not fair. Once you won, you don't have to go back and have the case reheard. Rabbi Mayo again says Fardacha Chuvazun, another chuv of his, he says that the Basiasi was Dakhadar Advash, Dikhi Bishtayadayim. We don't pass him like that, he says. And again, the Radvaz is a Das Yachid, and we don't pass him like it. Chaim Falaji in the Snicha L'Chaim, he has, as I mentioned earlier, a major tshuva, dozens of pages long on this topic. He brings all the various tshuvas. Also points out that Rabbaz is not a Das Yachid, he brings the Chikrei Lev, but at the end of the day, he also is sympathetic, he accepts the fact that most Achronim say, that most poskim, the consensus seems to be that we do not relitigate cases. As we mentioned earlier, the Rosh's language was, in one of his tshuvas he said, "How can you ask me to rehear a case, to reconsider a case that there was already a ruling by Anashim Gedolim V'Nechbadim?" So the Mishpat Tzedek, Remeir Melamed, says perhaps he'll argue that the Rush only meant that only in that specific case because they were noted Chachamim. He says no, but we have the other Tshuva in the Chazi Atznufa, which the Beis Yosef lumps together with the Rush, and the Chazi Atznufa does not say anything about Anashim Gedolim V'Nechbadim, so Harei Mistam Sasim. It's not dependent on there being noted Chacham and Gedol. And this is accepted by the later Achronim. Rabbi Mayo again says, brings the Mishpat Tzedek and says that there's no distinction between Gedol and Chacham. The Chikri Lev mentions this of Rabbi Mayo and says that it's true there is a Mishpat Tzedek who says that there's no chiluk between Gedol and ordinary Dayanim, but he brings the Marit who he says that certain dinim, which are tricky and prone, that the dayanim in such a case are prone to making mistakes, then ein lis mechel ala baki. We can only rely on the dayan getting it right if he's known to be a baki. And Chikri Lev then proceeds at length to argue that this is the sheet of the Ramah, the Rishon, the Remeir Halevi Abu Lafia, and Baba Basra. So again, similar to what we saw before in the Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef rejects the Radvaz and says that lo daiki applies even bizman hazeh, but he's forced to concede that there is a Rashba who says differently, and he says the Rashba is talking about a case which was a Dover Zar, a din that was tricky or less well known. So this is the same idea of the Chikri Lev, that even if we accept that there's a rule of Basin Buster, Basin Lo Nike, there are going to be certain cases that we have reason to believe that a mistake is extremely likely, and in such cases today, even the Beis Yosef would agree that we cannot be so quick to apply the rule of based in Basar, based in Lodaiki. Choshen Efer, though, following the Mishpat Tzedek and Rabbi Meir, also says that there's no difference between Gedolim and Chachamim and ordinary Dayanim, that we don't say that we don't that we still don't second guess the psak of a beis din even b'zman hazeh. One other crucial exception to the rule of beis din b'aser beis din lo daiki is proposed and argued vociferously by Reb Chaim Falaji. He says the whole rule of lo daiki means that the beis din will not open the case and start reconsidering it. But if they happen to have seen the case and they see that the first beis din did explain itself in writing and the second beis din sees that it's an error, we cannot apply the rule of lo daiki. Once they see it's wrong, it's wrong. He says, what are you going to do? He says, it's not right. So they can't stick their head in the sand and pretend they don't see. He says that the rule is only mistama samchinan al beis din arishon shaloto. Lo tzrichi beis din hasheni ledaktik. More than lo tzrichi, we saw many achrim said they're not allowed to, but they don't have to reconsider, he says. Shmami nahaim avru v'diktiku v'yadu shato azlu achazaka. The Rambam's lashon is it's a chazaka that the first beis din didn't make a mistake. But once we see that the chazaka is not correct, they did make a mistake, what are you going to do? Chazra din l'kuli alma. He argues that this is einenu haroz, maisim b'chal yom kameinu, he says, both locally, v'chal asar v'asar, the poskim rabbani hachranim hepach p'sak din shel rishonim, that they do overrule earlier authorities. He says that's Tawa B'Dar Mishnah. He says that of course it's Chazir. That's a clear rule in Halacha. If someone makes a mistake, he's Chazir. So once they already saw that a mistake was made, certainly it's Chazir. And he says that's the Chikra Leiv too. His grandfather, Kol Echad in his bar to Tawa Be'ezof and Shiel, Oshayach was Elamard Lo Chashin Lo Beisim Tom. Lo Chashinan means that we don't assume it. There's a presumption the first basin got it right. But if we happen to know they got it wrong, that's the end of the story. And there's no longer any rule that we can't cover, not cover. He doesn't get into that at this point, but he just says, certainly it doesn't make sense. It can't be that we allow the psak to stand. We allow the psak to stand that if we know that it's not correct. And he actually alludes to the cover too, and he says, HaKol HaShem Shemayim, Afi Sherisham K'malachim, Anan Sadi, De'in Hu Gufayu Nechelhu. They themselves would be happy having an incorrect psak overturned. And we just karam yesh b'hem lahodos l'shabach l'tzchuni banay al derech ha'emes. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the story of Tanar Shalachnoi l'tzchuni banay, so to hear, a dayan will be happy to have his incorrect psak corrected. So if we see the psak is wrong, certainly we will overturn it. We turn now to several tshuvas of contemporary or up to 100 years or so ago, poskim that deal with a formal system, a regular systematic arrangement for an appellate system and review bate din, that review the rulings of lower bate din. The earliest one, quoted by several later achronim, is the Choshen HaEifod. He wrote the tshuva in Kislev, Tafresh Ayin Beis. Ir Hazos, Sofia, in Bulgaria. He says, Mizeh kama shanim, b'shnas Tafresh Samach, 1900. There was a great meeting, Rashi Akihilos, Mikolir v'ir, Mi'ari, Bulgaria. So they had this great haskama that they would establish something called a Beis Din Agadol, that anyone who would have his case heard by a local Beis Din in his local city and was unhappy with the ruling would have the right to take his grievance to the higher Bate Din, v'zeh nikra b'losh b'nei adam, apilu, aleph pei yud, lamed vav. So there was a test case, there was a din Torah, somebody lost, the loser wanted to appeal to the higher Bate Din, and the winner said, no, that's not the halacha. Alpi adin, I won, I don't have to have my case reheard, I don't have to re-argue the case. He said, what do you mean? That's the minhag. He said, the minhag is we have the system, we have this takana, that this is what we do. He said, no, that's not the halacha. So the Choshen HaEifod has a several-page tshuva discussing whether or not Mi'ikra Din, going through all these Gemaras, Betzi Lusa de Beis Din, which, he, as we mentioned earlier, he's a very strong proponent of, the concern of the Lusa de Beis Din. Mi'ikra Din, he leans strongly to the side that a case may not be reheard, both because of the rights of the litigant as well as the honor of the first Beis Din. But after several pages, he writes, he does a 180-degree turn, and he writes, "Ach kol hayad amarba livdog b'chol divrei poskim in his karim be'ein of yirim." Ain't any winning anything done. This is all not relevant to our case. And he says, "In our the litigant in our case is absolutely mechuyev gomer to go to the appeals court, the court we call the Beis Din HaGadol." He says, because all the poskim who said that the case cannot be reheard is min hasnam. But here, where we have a takana, it was done by the Sarei v'Afrochei v'Rashi Akehilas in a great meeting. B'chol Medina Medina, Ba'ari Bulgaria, that they established this regular system of appellate courts, he says, Pshita vada, the Mishi Yotze Zakeh, Chayav Lahatazoz, and the Baal Riva, Lava Lo Donar Dapam. He certainly has to. Why? It's a takana, he says. Chash Mishpat is full of takanas. The Rashi Ha'am, Yichal Natak, and Mashiach Beinayim. The leaders of the community, the leaders of the nation, can establish whatever they think is necessary. Sanai Nachore, Bekama and Yanim, there are many examples of such takanas, and he gives various examples of cases where the minhag and the takana is against the established halacha of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. He says there's no question they can do that. And he says, since it's a takana, even though here we said it's a matter of Isser, that's why he said he can't say Kimli, nevertheless, he says, once it's a takana, everyone knows this, Zui takana se'er, ain't kan zilzul based on the Rishon, me'kara da'ted ha'chi nachti, there's no zilzul, they understand that it's not because you don't trust them, it's just a regular established system. Point is debatable, the fact that you believe they made a mistake, you can argue it's inherently a zilzul, he says, no, once it's an established takana, there's no zilzul. And also, adaited d'hachinachti, all the participants in the system do so, knowing the rules in advance. And that's Barer, he says, no problem. Kemeshkes avnu, ekra, ein kam bizayon, there's no humiliation, no disrespect to the original dayanim, the kuli alma yadi atakana. Everyone knows, that's the rule. Shemisha ein libo shalem al mashadano abeistin, the yachal elech lebeistin agadol, umeikara adaited d'hachinachti, who was very strict about Bimazalzal and the rabbis. That's only on an ad hoc basis where there's no such framework in place. But when there's no zilzal, there's no problem. That's his conclusion. Now, the most notable case of an appellate basin system today is the system in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut system. This began about a century ago, about 1920. Back under the British, where there was a major discussion, debate among the great Rabbanim of the time. I believe that there was pressure from the British, from the Western authorities, to introduce several various features of Western judicial systems. One of them was an appellate based, and the Rabbanim had a great disagreement about it. Rav Kook was one of the ones who felt that they could and should do it. I don't have the documentation of the whole debate, but one letter of Rav Kook and a postscript to another letter he just writes from 1921, Binyan Basin Gadol Erurim, a high court of appeals, Dati Nota Shechayav Manu Lachanin Basin Gadol Chazeh, Poir HaKodesh, Yizeh Betel Chodah B'tikun Klali, he says, he doesn't get into the whole sugya of Lo Daiki, Yes Daiki, like the Choshen Eifert, it's a Takana. Kachol Takana, it's Gidol Eadar, it's a Tzarech Hazman, it's just a Takana, he says, it has nothing to do with the whole sugya of all the various rayas, daiki, not daiki, bismanazet, we can misake whatever we want, like the Choshen Eifert's conclusion. He also gives several examples of famous takanas that were made by the Gaonim and Rishonim against the din of the Gemara. Kfar achilonu bezra Hashem lasses bezet tzadim, yichon Hashem maskidenu tova laman amo v'nachla sela. Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva, to also discussing the modern Israeli Rabbanut appeal system. He says in the sugya of Basin Basi Basin Lodaiki is a complicated one with lots of pratim and chiluki deis. He doesn't want to get into it right now, he says. But Shona Hadavar Lachalutin, the situation is entirely different when we're talking about the modern regional Batei Din in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because again, the same reason that we've seen in the Choshen Eifod and Rav Kook, that Nichnasu Meikara L'Mishrasem Adaita Dehachi. The system is designed this way initially. Everyone goes in knowing the rules. The Dayanim know this, the Tovim, the plaintiffs, the Nitvayim, the defendants. Everyone knows this is the rule, that whoever loses has the right to appeal. He brings the Choshen Eifod, and he adds, he says that his correspondent apparently was unhappy with the system and was complaining about it. He assures him, Al zem mistamchim b'pshitus gam kalam kan bartzenu. Everyone relies on this. Everyone participates in this system. He adds pointedly, "Gam haCharedim haKitzonim biYoser." The most extreme Charedim, who are generally not particularly sympathetic to institutions of the state and such, in religious issues certainly, even they participate. Meshtamshim b'schuzos. They utilize this right they have to appeal decisions. Magishim erurim l'fnei Beis Din HaGadol. V'ani yodea ve'edal kach, because he served on the Beis Din HaGadol. He also adds, that this was a well-established common system Leah's based in Agdal Erurim B'chol Arei Hamarav, the Maghreb, North Africa. Uva Odarim Rabin, B'mdinos Hatfutzos, many cities in the diaspora had such systems. V'chei Nagum Milafnim, B'tikufa Shonos. This was the practice in various earlier eras in Jewish history. Gametz Kinu Takanas B'kashu Lakach, various communities had formal institutions. Kasev V'pinikse Kehilas Rabim, as is written in the ledgers of many Kehilas. He also points out that you have the other svara that the basin is often dan b'kfiya. We send out summons, he says. And again, he seems to assume that, like the distinction we mentioned earlier, that the whole sugya of lo daiki, in order to reconcile it with the other gemara of kisvulim ezetam dantuni, the whole sugya of lo daiki is only when they come voluntarily. When they come ayde k'fiya, when we summon them, when we issue a summons, like the Navi Yehuda says, then we certainly have to write ezetam dantuni, which is tantamount to saying that they have the right to review and appeal. And he winds up his tshuva by again assuring his correspondent that according to the Yisod HaMivne HaOfi V'Meskeres HaShabbati Adin HaYizarim Kan Ba'aretz Bnuyim Makifim, according to the modern system, framework, structure, character of the modern system of Batei Din, Ein Makom Lahar Klal Al Asher Me'alehem Nimtza Beis Nigdal Shebalei Adin Yicholim. There's absolutely no problem at all with the fact that we have an appellate based in Ein Laharach Bekan Yoser. Mishpatei Uziel, Rav Uziel, has a long tshuva leading up to an explanation of the appellate basin. He says some very interesting things in the tshuva, including, as we mentioned earlier, alluded earlier, downplays the whole idea of lo daiki to be just common practice rather than an actual chiyuv and iser. He was disagreeing there with some other rabbanim, Rav Chaim Hershenson, others, perhaps others, who disagreed with the whole idea of an appellate basin. He winds up staunchly defending the institution. On the one hand, he agrees that historically, in at least Medina de Gemara, there was no such actual institution of an appellate based, and although he does say that it was the right of a dayan to review the ruling of an earlier based if he thought it was wrong on an ad hoc basis, but there was no such system. As he explains, using some fairly poetic language, his conclusion is, Omnam b'ha-constitutia ha-mishpata shalam Yisrael, the legal constitution of the nation of Israel, lo haya beis miyuchad l'irurim, there was no such thing as a specific, particular court of appeal, ela beis in ha-gadol, beis havad, those were just higher batei din, which sometimes would review lower beis din's ruling, but that wasn't their primary function. This is not because kadmoneinu is nagdol beis din shel irurim, they had no objection to an appellate beis din, he says, ela, on the contrary, he said, it was because they wanted the basin to be on such a high level, they wanted anyone who went to basin to have lev shalem ubatuach be'emuna gemura l'shavt, if he should trust and rely on the basin, that he should not have go in initially thinking that he's going to appeal. They tried, therefore, to make the batei din as good and as reliable and as final as could be. But still, they did have any other basin that believed there was a mistake made, did have the right to review and to overrule. However, he says, Im ha'am daresh, if the nation wants an appellate basin, he seems to be assuming here that a large part of the motivation for the appellate basin was popular demand. This seems to be a reference to the fact that the primary impetus for the appellate system is based on Western systems. It wasn't an intrinsically Jewish idea, but it was borrowed from modern Western democracies. This seems to be typical phrasing of Rav Uziel, that we have no right to block our ears to the legitimate demands of the people. We are obligated to listen to them and to give them what they want. He brings a medrash. Hashem Elokeichem hirbo eschem al gabei dayanechem. The people are above their dayanim. They tell the dayanim what to do, at least sometimes. V'chova aleinu, again, it's an obligation incumbent upon us. L'asei sipuk nafshi l'drisha sa'am. We have to satisfy the needs and demands of the people. U'l'karv m'leidei kach l'mishpatei ha-Torah. He seems to be saying that by providing them with a system that they can appreciate, that they feel is more in line with their modern notions of a judicial system, that will help bring them closer to the Torah, and that itself is a reason to do this. And then he says, after all this poetry, returning to the harder edge language of the halacha, he says, If somebody, a more halakhically traditional person, will say, we can't invent newfangled things, since there's no such institution as this mentioned in the earlier sources, we have no right to do this, and the rule of basin, buser, basin, lodaiki should still apply. So now, finally, he goes back to the formulation of the Sisaliezer and the Choshen Eifod. He says, it's a takana. And v'chol ha'omdim lodin, savru v'kibul mafreya. Anyone who participates in the system understands that these are the rules that will govern his initial hearing, that there'll be a right of appeal. Shiachal Arab if based in the room of a kubul akach. But Zain Shum Savi Badar, nothing to argue about, he says. And once this is the system, Basin has to issue reasoned rulings. Kishiel Alav F. Sharas Abikaris. And that's no problem, he says. And that's his conclusion, that the system is justified. First of all, he argues theoretically, philosophically, why it's the right thing to do if people want it. And then specifically, he says it's a takana. And there's B'li Shum Pikpuk on this institution. Chamovadia and the Abia Omer also has a tshuva in which he discusses this. He was actually dealing with a system in Egypt, which had an appellate, the Batidin in Egypt had some kind of appellate system, but in the course of his discussion, the end of the tshuva, he discusses the situation in Eretz Yisrael too. He writes, Kfar Pashat HaMinhag Medinas Elu Lahamin Basin Lerurim, to have appellate Batidin. He's talking about the Arabic countries, it sounds like. Ba'afal Pish Ein Davar Zeh Nakim Erurim, even though this is not uncontroversial, Ki Yadua, he says, Shedonu Bazeh Gidolei Dareinu, Imagon Rav Kook, when they established Misradei HaRabbanut HaRashit Be'eretz Yisrael, and many people argued, he said, that the rule of Basin Basar Basin Lodaiki should preclude the idea of an appellate Basin. So first he says that Basin, that the just means customarily they don't do it, Ein Bazeh Isser Min HaDin, although as we've seen, surprisingly he doesn't bring many of the earlier Akhron who did seem to assume it was an Isser Min HaDin. And the Chazi HaTnufu says the Einam Rashai, that he says also means that means with new tainus they can't do, but they can review the transcript of the earlier case. Again, we've seen Achron who don't seem to say that, but that's what he wants to suggest. Also, he says many of our dinim are alide kfiya, as the Sitz Eliezer pointed out too. Also, he says Basin has the right to be mochel under covered, that if it's covered for the Basin, they can say we allow you to appeal. And Magam, Achar Shahuna, came and died to Dahachi, the same story we've seen in Rav Uziel and Sitz Eliezer and the Choshen Eifod. Once that was the Minhag, everyone who participates died to Dahachi, that these are the rules of the game. Kedai Ma'od Hadavar, similar to Rav Uziel, he says this is a very good idea. Shalidei Zeh Yinasin Tokiv L'Cholpeski Adin, Shalon Lotim L'Pala Adem M'Shallah. The government will be much more cooperative with our system if we have a modern system, including an appellate option. Also, he adds a very interesting claim. Maybe for him this was true, but he says, Al pi harov hakol mavur b'sifrei poskim. Most of halacha is already explicit in earlier svarim. For Rav Avadya, who knew everything, this is certainly more true than it is for many of us, for most of us. It be so from pi svarim. Chshmatziim habeisin le'rurim shabeisin akodim tov b'psak din negin sifrei poskim. When an appellate beisin overrules a lower beisin, it's usually because it's explicit, they found it explicit in Svarim, that the first Basin missed. Havalei Toz with their mission of a Chozer. U'mitzvah rabba ka'avdi lahoti la'ar mishpat, ma'shakara b'kizah harbe pa'amim. This is somewhat hard to accept, even though Rav Avadya certainly has an unimaginably great erudition. The fact is, in the real world, many cases are ultimately judgment calls. Not everything is mefurish. In Chosh Mishpat, you always have to reason by analogy. Not everything is exactly the same as an earlier case, and an appellate court may very well overrule based on its judgment. So, but Rav Avadya says that most cases involve explicit Tov B'Dvar Mishnas. And also he adds, similar to the Sitz Eliezer, V'chein Yadua Shekam Migidol Lehadar Avdi Yovdom Nefshayu, they themselves participated in this appellate based, and he says, Baratzeinu HaKadosha, HaYoshim V'danim V'Basin Agadol Le'arurim, Upamim Rabim. Rabbas, he says, they would find mistakes in the lower basin and they would reverse. So certainly the great Gedolim who sat on the appellate basin certainly found frequently errors on the part of the lower basin that frequently would reverse. Then he brings the Radvaz and Afkas Rochel, and he adds a fascinating point. He says even though the Beis Yosef rejected the Radvaz strongly, and he's saying Dichu B'Shnei Yadayim, as we've seen, nevertheless Rav Avadya makes a fascinating and provocative claim. Today, You read this Hadaros, today we have the level of our wisdom in Torah has fallen so low that today perhaps even the Beis Yosef would agree that the rule of Beis Din Basar Beis Din lo daik. So in summary, the first thing we have is the Gemara that says Beis Din Basar Beis Din lo daiki. As we've seen the Acharonim explain, there are actually two reasons for this. First, it's the right of the victor in the initial proceeding not to have to re-argue his case once he won. Also, it's a question of showing respect and not disrespecting the Mizalzel in the first Beis Din. On the other hand, we do have the Gemara that says that the losing litigant can ask for in writing Meizer Tam Dantuni, and as the Acharonim explained, that seems to be primarily about the right to review or to appeal. Some Acharonim explain that the difference is that Gemara, based on the Rishonim, that second Gemara is only in the case where he appeared unwillingly, and the first Gemara is going in the typical case where both parties appear willingly before the Beis Din. The consensus of the poskim seems to be that the rule of Beis Din Basar Beis Din Lo Daiki applies even b'zman hazeh, and even with the Dayanim are not noted exceptionally great Talmidei Chachamim, although there are Chalkim, as we've seen, the Radvaz and Tzara Kesef and the Maisachia. And also, as we've seen, some of the Chachamim point out that there are certain dinim which are particularly difficult or particularly tricky, in which case we do have to be choshish for Beis Din Toim, at least unless the Dayanim are particular Bekim. We've also seen Chaim Avadia, who has suggested that today everyone would agree Beis Din Basar Beis Din is Medayik, because today we are Dalonu Ma'od. And the last and important point is that a number of contemporary poskim have said that this whole discussion is moot, this whole discussion is only relevant without the establishment of a specific universally accepted system of appeals, only on an ad hoc basis, Medina de Gemara, if one Rav or Dayan wants to review and overrule another basin, that's where all these rules apply. But in a case where the community, the leaders of the community, establish a system and they made a takana, like in Dinei Mamonos or a Minhag, or everyone who participates in the system, both the judges, the plaintiffs, defendants, all the litigants, all go in knowing that these are the rules, that the loser has the right to appeal, then a number of poskim have said, although it was not quite universal apparently, but a number of poskim have said that there's absolutely nothing wrong, there is no zilzal to the first dayanim, there's no infringement on the rights of the litigants, they all participate knowing these rules, and therefore there's no problem. And as the Sisleizer and Rav Avadia point out, that the fact is the system has been in place for a while, both in Eretz Yisrael and in earlier countries, and in Eretz Yisrael in particular, we know that many great gedolim did sit on the Beis Din of Appeals, the Beit Din HaGadol Le'irurim, and this seems to be the minhag, the pretty well-established minhag. Sisleizer has said that even the most extreme of the Haredim participate, and this certainly seems the minhag that we do accept the legitimacy of the institution of an appellate Beis Din.